Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. I pray you've had a great night and a good morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we go into your word this morning. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to speak through me, Lord, so that the words are yours and not mine, and that we can gain knowledge and wisdom, Father, to be better equipped to help others that are in need and needing to understand that we all need the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and to be able to make our home in heaven. And Father, bless us this day and use us to bring someone out of darkness and into life. Our Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this day. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going into Titus. Pardon me. Chapter 1. Titus is not a long book. There's only three chapters to it, and they're short chapters. All right, we'll see where God takes us this morning. Now, beginning here with verse 1. As you all know, we are going through the New Testament, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. All right. So we don't miss anything. And we leave everything in its setting so that we can understand what it is saying to us. All right. Now, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. 3, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. 4, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, as we look at those four verses, the author, Paul, is describing himself as a servant, or a bond servant, who has no rights to of his own, because he's an apostle. An apostle is one sent with a commission according to the faith of God's elect, means with a view to hence Paul was made an apostle in order to call the elect to faith in Christ by preaching the gospel to all men. And he was being sent and had been called to be sent to the Gentiles, which really did mean all mankind. Now, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. He's letting them know right there. He was there to do. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. There's a whole lot there. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may, pardon me, may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the grainsayers. Now, as we look, pardon me, as we look at those verses that we just read, 5-9, Titus has set in order the church. These two set everything in order with the church. The church has been established, but needed to be organized to function effectively. And he needed to ordain elders in every city. Were to be appointed in every city to rule and teach in the churches. The qualifications listed here are similar to those in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. they're not just similar, they are really exact, as most of Timothy there in the third chapter, as we read and studied. Blameless means without blame or rebuke. It does not mean sinless. But you see, it also does. Because if you've got sin in your life, you're sure not blameless. No. Needs to be the husband of one wife, a one-woman man. This may preclude those who are divorced, and certainly any who are polygamous. The bishop, which is an overseer, shows that the elders mentioned in verse 5 are also bishops. The two words describes the office and the maturity of the same person. He is also called the steward of God, meaning God's household servant. No striker means not a brawler or a fighter. Not given to filthy lucre means he's not greedy for financial gain. We have gotten a good definition there, again, of what your pastor is supposed to be. Now, man changed a lot of the wording around and gave it to different people. Your bishop is the same as your pastor. Man made him as an overseer over many of the churches and over other pastors. But that's not the biblical definition of it, as I've just read. Now, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, we know here that they of the circumcision that he's talking about being talkers and deceivers are those that are trying to bring the believers back in under the law. They're the Jewish Judaizers that are out trying to tear Paul's work down and bring people back away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert old houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. In other words, they're teaching for money. We've got a lot of that going on today, because we've got a lot of them in our churches today teaching just for a great paycheck and things that is given to him and furnished that has made him pretty well off man. And we've got a lot of them. Now, they'll teach some scripture, but they will have added to it and taken away from it that has took a lot of the meaning away also. And they are doing exactly what they want to do. Now, as we go on here, in verse 11, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert. Now I want you to listen to this one more time. Old houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Now, you know the circumcision that he's talking about here? Paul describes the Jews who are trying to impose the teaching of Moses, especially circumcision, as a necessary for salvation on the Christians of Crete as being unruly and not subject to rule or order. He also calls them deceivers, a prophet of their own. Refers to the Cretan poet. I can't pronounce that name, but I'll spell it for you. E-P-I-M-E-N-I-D-E-S. Now, whom Paul quotes merely to prove a point. Paul is using him there to prove a point. Now, 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. That they may be sound in the faith. 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Well, we know that Paul instructs Titus to perform the task of, he is to rebuke them sharply. Jewish fables refers to Jewish myths. That is legalistic error. In other words, something that they should not be teaching at all. And that's what they're doing. And as I said, we have a lot of that going on around us today also. And if you don't believe me, get out here and visit a few of your churches and you'll understand what I'm saying. 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, we're going to drop down here to 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. You see, if you are truly born again child of God, you stand pure. And the word of God is pure to you. Because that is what you are bringing in to your life. To keep it so and to be able to perform the task and all that our Heavenly Father will give you to perform and to do. And he will keep you busy if you will just listen to him and do the things he asks of you to do. Now, he has also told them that those that were unbelieving that there is nothing dear to them, and that they are their minds and are their mind and conscience is defiled. Because you see, there's nothing pure to them. Now, 16. They possess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. In other words, there's nothing good about them in their lives. They are the ones that we need to be reaching out to with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do it on our own. Think about it. We don't have that kind of power within ourselves. But with the Holy Spirit's power working in us and using the Word of God, we can reach out to help others to understand that they stand in need of someone that is stronger and all than they are, and that they need to be forgiven for the evil things they are doing, and we also are to teach them why they need it, is so that they can make heaven their home and not end up with their place in hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and constant punishment and torment. You know, the rich man that died and went to hell, he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he asked God to just let Lazarus come and dip his finger in water and put on his tongue, because he was in that kind of misery. As he said, there in them flames. Think about that. Such misery that a finger dipped in water and put on the tongue would ease some of it. That is pain and punishment like you and I can't even imagine as of yet. And I sure don't want to find out about it by having to go through it. I'd rather go through the things here on earth that I will need to go through as I teach the Word of Almighty God and as I serve Him. Because even though I have troubles and tribulations and all come against me from Satan, I have that comforter in me that gives me joy and peace through all of it. And I can spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ Because, you see, he is my Savior. And we all, if we're to make heaven our home, there is only one way, and that is through Jesus. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the way. We can't go over him, around him, or under him. We must go through him. And everything we do has to go through him. For you and I to pray, the way has been made so that we can go before the throne of God in prayer, speaking to the Father himself. But even with that, we are to do that in Jesus' name. And the Word tells us this. But is that the way you're praying? That you're praying to the Father? But that you are praying in the name of Jesus? And he goes on to tell us in his Word that when we do that, he will hear us from heaven. And we know that if he hears us from heaven, that we will receive what we have asked, as long as it is in accordance with the will and the ways of Almighty God. We have come to the end of chapter 1, and we're going to stop here for this morning. And God willing, we'll be picking up with chapter 2 this evening. It won't be long until we'll be through Titus and going in to Philemon, or Philemon, depends on how you look at it and how you want to spell it and pronounce it. All right. Some calls it Philemon, some calls it Philemon. Now, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times that you've given us that we can come together, that we can stand together in thy word, Father, and learn of the word and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and learn of you. And Father, I pray and ask you to use this ministry in great and mighty ways to find their way into the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us always, Father, use this ministry to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and not man or mankind, but the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can reach out and help others to go to the Lord and to repent and to be forgiven and accept him as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Father, be with us all through this day. Keep us safe. Father, and to take care of us, but use us in a great and mighty way. And lead us to someone that we can help, Father, this day. And I pray, Father, for those that do listen to this ministry, I pray for each and every one of them that they stand in health and that they are right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, with Almighty God. Now, Father, watch over us. Keep us throughout this day. Bring us back together again this evening and back into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great day. Walk with God, He'll walk with you.